Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Dr. Brandi Stankovic. I'm happy that you are here with me. As many of you may know, I am an alumni of the University of San Diego. So I love myself some San Diego. So we're going to get in touch with someone that is a part of UC San Diego, right around the corner from where my backyard used to be, and talking a little bit about philanthropy and leadership, and our guest, Danny Dawson. And I'll introduce you to her in just a second. As you know, in the Strategic Hot Box, we talk about learning, loving, and kicking ass, and that's really important to us. In the Learn, we always have a new topic, and today, of course, being philanthropy and leadership. And what is philanthropy, and how is it different from charity, and why is it important to us progressing as individuals in business or in leaders or in life? And then when it comes to love section, we'll talk to Danny and talk about her passion in leadership and in philanthropy and how we can really give back. And then in the kick-ass section, we'll give you the tools that you need to start making something happen today. So when it comes to philanthropy and leadership, what's philanthropy? And as I mentioned, how is it different than charity? Steve Gunderson, who's the former CEO and president of the Council of Foundations, has described the distinction as charity is short-term, or tends to be short-term, emotional and an immediate response, focused primarily on rescue and relief, where philanthropy is much more of a long-term strategic approach, and it's focused on rebuilding. So when it comes to a charity, it's kind of a give out based on an immediate response to something. And philanthropy is how you help someone to support them in the future. If we go to the parable of the man fishing, right? So I would imagine that charity is really giving a man a fish, where, you know, philanthropy is more teaching the man to fish. And one of Goodwill's favorite sayings is that charity can be a vital handout in someone in need, but philanthropy is the hand up that allows individuals to find lasting success. Charity can be a necessity always to addressing more immediate concerns, but really we want to get to the root of the problem and figure out why people are the way that they are. And I've mentioned before on the podcast that I work with Emergency Aid of Southern Nevada, and at Emergency Aid, they do give relief. They do give charity to people in need. So if someone needs an emergency rent, or they need to have their bills paid, or they need food in the food pantry, they have those services there available to their members. However, one of the ways that they're trying to build in philanthropy is we recently started that financial literacy program in teaching the people there how to better manage their money and how to better understand how they've gotten into the situations that they've gotten in. Now, some are due to tragedy, some are due to situations out of their control, but what do they do now? How do they build a life beyond that? And I think that Starbucks, it really has done a great job in addressing issues with the whole human and issues with what their people, their employees are facing worldwide. They have a lot of programs that go after employee engagement, retention, diversity, and being important topics to the world today. And they create answers, I feel like, in finding solutions and getting to the root of some of those challenges. They have comprehensive packages for their employees that work 20 hours or more. So most organizations in the United States, anyway, benefits packages don't start until you're full time, right? So that would be 40 hours. And I know it's different in different countries. They allow employees to complete their bachelor's degree having tuition coverage, and sometimes full tuition coverage. And that's amazing. So they recognize that it might just be a step for their career, but they dedicate, to hiring working parents, veterans, students, first-time job seekers. So they have that diversity, and they sponsor employee development programs. So what can we be doing as leaders to focus on more of the whole individual, focus on more of getting to the root of challenges that the human beings face? How do we work together to make sure that we are fighting the fight for that reason? And how can we get to the solving so we're providing the true long-term benefit? And that's the key, because I think anybody that's in fundraising, we've talked about fundraising before on the podcast, and it's more than fundraising sometimes, right? It's more about finding and getting to a solution. So I want to, at this point, really bring in a subject matter expert and dig into this concept a little further. And that person is Dani Dawson. She's the Executive Director of Development, the Office of Gift Planning for UC San Diego. She's got her Bachelor's in Liberal Arts from CSU Long Beach. She's got her MBA from the University of Phoenix, and she's also got a JD from Chapman University School of Law. So she definitely has got the expertise. She's the immediate past president and current vice president of inclusion of the Association of Fundraising Professionals, San Diego chapter, member of Partnerships for Philanthropic Planning, San Diego, Women Give, and she's the past chair of sponsorship for the 2016 San Diego Women's March. So I'd love to learn even more about all these different experiences that she has. Please join me in welcoming Dani Dawson. Dani, hello. How are you? Good to
see
you.
I'm fine, thank you.
Would you consider University of San Diego and UC San Diego to be rivals?
Well, I think they both have different strengths.
That's such an articulate and nice way to say that. So politically correct. But both beautiful schools as well. So I'm so glad that you're here. Tell us a little bit about your journey in leadership.
Well, my journey in leadership is, I guess, kind of interesting. I think that other people believed in my leadership abilities before I did. Mm. I say that because I was really encouraged by so many incredible mentors that I've had in my life to take on leadership roles. When I became the president of AFP San Diego, I was like, there's no way. When they asked me to become the president, I thought, there's no way I can do this. Mm-hmm. It's a chapter of nearly 400 people, a board of 24 people. I've never done anything like this before. Mm-hmm. And I did it and I enjoyed it and I learned a ton from it. I oversee the team of gift planning, where there are four of us that work here. And we have had an incredible success sort of breaking things better and really being okay changing things and not really feeling like we have to stay with the status quo. Mm-hmm. And that's been a real eye-opening experience for me too.
I love that you say break things better. Because it's not always...
I know that's, UC San Diego, we're in the middle of a $2 billion campaign, and that's been sort of the philosophy around here, even the theme of the campaign sometimes, because here at UC San Diego, we break things better. We're really encouraged to break things better. And we're really entrepreneurial in that sense. And that's just so much fun to work in an environment like that.
That is. And where you support kind of innovative ways and recognize that there's going to be mistakes along the way.
Absolutely. And when there are mistakes, some things we go for and we're like, that did not hit the mark. So let's back it up. And then go down the other path and just figure it out together and admit something needs to be tweaked here. And mm-hmm. that's okay.
And not punish ourselves when we don't hit the mark, right? Yeah.
That's right. And we really, people can be really hard on themselves and sometimes on each other. But we really encourage each other here to just go, well, let's laugh about that and really truly learn from it and know that this might not work right now. It's a great idea. Maybe it'll work in the future, but it's not going to work right now.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to look at it. So what does philanthropy like mean to you? What's that difference to you?
So I have never heard the distinction between philanthropy and charity the way you introduced the show. And I thought that was very interesting. I actually heard somebody say to me this morning, somebody that I was talking to, a woman who is incredibly philanthropic. She said that she sees philanthropy in three different ways. And I'm going to adopt it right now. Her saying, she sees philanthropy of the brain. So she wrote a book and she has made it available to whoever needs it in the form of an ebook. She has also given a ton of her time sitting on boards, volunteering, planning events, chairing events. So that's the giving of her time, philanthropy of her time and her skill set. And then she's also, of course, very generous in her finances too. So she gives mm-hmm. of her money. And I think that philanthropy can be so broadly defined. Anything that you can give, any time that you have to give, any money that you have to give, you are a philanthropist.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in serving other people that, you know, that you're passionate about or.
That's right. I work with a lot of people who are doing incredible work, for example, feeding homeless people or volunteering at a hospitality house, putting lunches together for families who have people in the hospital. And they're doing incredible work. And it's such a shame because they don't see themselves as philanthropists, but they are incredible philanthropists. And so I'm trying to get them to see that. And I also think that as women tend to be so humble. So we have all these women doing incredible, remarkable things, and they're going, oh, I'm not really doing that much, but really they truly are. And especially people who have limited means or don't have the means to really donate, you know, much money. Mm-hmm. The giving of your time and even mentoring, philanthropy comes in so many different forms. Taking the time to talk to somebody, I think, is philanthropic. Mm-hmm. I teach my children who are almost 11 and 12 years old to be philanthropists any way they can. Mm-hmm. If that means they're going to write a nice letter to somebody and give it to them because they're having a bad day, that changes lives.
It really does. And I love that you bring that up. It's my son's birthday or was just recently my son's birthday. And for his birthday, instead of receiving gifts, we decided to receive donations to the Children's Miracle Network hospitals. And
I love that.
Yeah. In lieu of gifts, or if you wanted to bring a gift and you don't have to, but if you wanted to bring a gift, that to bring this donation instead. And we had a long conversation about, selfishly, it came from, he has too many damn toys and I don't know what to, you know, like I'm so
sorry. Tell me about it.
But I also had a long conversation with him about the fact that I will get him whatever he'd like, right? Because we're in a place in our lives where if he would like something, then we'll do that. And then if somebody else wants to give, let's give it to kids that don't have something or where he can give back and he can feel some of that himself. And he's, you know, just turned 8. So it's a different perspective for an 8-year-old, I think. So
that's
when it
amazing.
Comes to leaders becoming more philanthropic, what strategies would you provide to somebody? Or what do you think? What could they do to become a little bit more philanthropic?
That's a really great question. Leaders have a skill set that is needed at many organizations, whether they be immediate relief charities or charities with sort of a longer vision or a longer sort of purpose. So I think that leaders can not only encourage other people to support the organizations that they so believe in, but can also give of their time. Sit on boards, volunteer for event planning, helping with fundraising for these mm-hmm. other sort of smaller organizations. But I think sometimes it's really hard to find things to get involved in. So I would encourage leaders to really seek out opportunities to encourage others to get involved themselves, to bring their families along, just to really spread the word of philanthropists and spread the word of philanthropy. And really, it's not what we say, it's more about what we do that really influences people. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage leaders to get involved,
to act
in things that they're passionate about.
Yeah. And you have to sometimes ask over and over. You know, I am an alumni of the University of Nevada also and feel very passionately about my undergraduate and supporting giving back to the next generation that's coming through the university. And I constantly ask how I can get involved because especially when I first graduated, I have no funds, right? And I still really don't have any funds, let's be honest. But like in the building that isn't a way that I can give back in a tremendous way to the university. But I can through time, I can through support, I can through mentoring, I can through an alumni network. And so, but I've had to ask a lot. And I had to continue to ask. And if there's turnover at the university, I have to ask again. And then ultimately people will then start coming to me. You know what I mean? So people have to not be afraid.
Yeah, good for you, Brandy, for staying with it. That is so true. We have a lot of people who want to get involved, and we can't necessarily put them to work right away. But we definitely love that they want to stay connected and they want to stay engaged and they want to continue to work with us. It is just a matter of, when the opportunity comes, we will
Timing.
promise we will, place you. The other thing too is that there are a lot of other organizations that could use help every day of the week. And so finding those opportunities as well, if that's something that means a lot to you.
That people want to, absolutely. So, what was an unexpected learning for you in your journey?
I didn't realize, I think I have two. When I was president of AFP San Diego, I started public speaking a lot, and I didn't think I could do it as well as I do now because I would speak 3, 4 times a month at different events. That now I love teaching. I, as the executive director in the Office of Gift Planning, I'm responsible for educating not only our philanthropists, but our fundraisers as well on the different types of gift vehicles. And so I didn't know that I could have done that. And it's really incredible the things that you do learn when you're in a leadership position. About yourself and about who you are.
And
The other one is,
no,
yes.
just really quick before you shared, and I want to hear your other story as well, but that here was an unexpected thing that you, it's not like you went into philanthropy or your job for public speaking and look at how it opened this door to this completely other side of your life.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And sometimes I'm called to speak to groups of young women who are, there's the United Women of East Africa. They call me in to speak to them about career planning and just being a woman in San Diego and about different topics, just because I'm able to really connect with them. And I think that all, I didn't realize that I had that capability until I was
Yeah.
put into this sort of position.
Absolutely. So what's your other unexpected learning?
This one's actually quite funny, if I may share this.
Please.
My son, about 3 seasons ago, my 12-year-old son, 3 seasons ago, wouldn't have been 12, but he wanted to play flag football. And so I signed him up, and they said, sure, he can totally be on a team if you can find a coach for him. And I thought, oh, that'll be easy. I called everybody that I knew, and I know a couple of former NFL players here from San Diego. And everyone said, no, they all turned me down. So my son really wanted to play football, so I decided to coach a team.
Well, naturally.
And right, that's what you do. So I started coaching this team, and I'm 3 seasons in now, and it's been the most incredible experience. I don't think only for me, but I think for the other coaches who have to kind of be more thoughtful about what they're saying about throwing like a girl, for example, or when the boys, my boys, just last week, one of our boys who are new to the team said, we're playing that team, a team of all girls. He said, we're totally going to win. And I said, why have you seen them practice? And the rest of the boys who've been on my team before went, ooh, you can't say that. So they are all like, it's like these like life lessons that are happening with this football team. I'm watching the refs figure out, oh, she's the coach. Oh, okay. So I'll talk to her instead of the man sitting next to me, who is not the coach of my team. So it's been a really great learning experience, I think, for so many people that are involved. So that's been a lot of fun too. And I'm learning flag football.
Oh, awesome. That's cool. And now the NFL players are probably going to be calling you to teach
There you go.
their kids.
There
So,
you go.
can you share with us a bold action or something that people can start doing differently today?
Don't be afraid to be the first. I find that it's so scary sometimes to be the first one to change something, to follow through on their really cool idea that they have, to speak out if they see something that needs to be said, to be the first woman flag football coach in this league. I mean, don't be afraid to be the first person. If you have an idea that you're passionate about, go with it, run with it. If you see an injustice and you need to stand up for somebody, stand up. If you need to stand up for yourself, stand up. Don't be afraid to be the first.
Yeah, don't be afraid to be the first. I love it. So if people wanted to learn more about what you're up to and the things that you're doing, like for example, women's marches or different kind of philanthropic events, how would they do that?
I'm on LinkedIn. And you can find me on Facebook as well as Instagram. Also our website, the Office of Gift Planning, all of my contact information, including my email, and probably my phone numbers as well, you can text me, are all available online. And it's the UC San Diego Office of Gift Planning.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing the stories with us. Keep kicking butt with your little boys and their football playing. And it was really nice to meet you there in sunny San Diego.
Thank you, Brandy. It was great talking to you.
Bye, Danny.
Bye.
I'm Marissa, and I'm in Helena, Montana, driving with Uber for the first time, and Brandy's my first customer, and I'm really excited.
Thank you to Danny for being here as our guest today and sharing her energy. Didn't she just have the best and most delicious energy? I love when a guest come on our show and kind of leave me feeling energized and vibed for the next level. And thank you to our shout out from Helena, Montana. I was riding in an Uber from an art class to back to my hotel in Helena. And when the Uber driver picked me up, she said, "This is my first ever Uber ride. So I want you to know that this is kind of like a big deal for me." And we got to talking on my drive back, and she wanted to do a shout out. And so there, thank you so much for being here and providing that for us. And hopefully she's just kicking some butt as an Uber driver now there up in Montana. So based on everything that Danny talked about, it's time for me to leave you with some kick-ass tools to start making a difference in your life today. So it's time to kick some ass. Number one, when it comes to leadership and philanthropy, I urge you to reflect. What is it that you are passionate about? One of the things that Danny said is there are lots of organizations out there that want help and need help every single day. So look back, think about how do you want to give? Do you want to give in your time? Can you give of your mind? Can you give of your money in the way that her friend had shared that? And reflect on the passion that you want to deliver. Number two is get to the root of the challenge. Just like in the story that I share with Emergency Aid, just like in the differences of charity versus philanthropy that I highlighted, what is the root solution that you want to be part of? And so sometimes it's not just about, you know, donation, but really donation to the solution and getting to the root of that challenge. Number three, question, examine, assess. And what I mean by that is go in full force. Think about what it is that you're going after, how you can go after, and then take a look at it, assess it, ask questions. Just like I said with the University of Nevada, ask over and over and over again. Examine if this is how you want to be doing it from your own leadership perspective and your own leadership story and how it is that you want to be more philanthropic in your journey, your delivery. Take a look at your practices. How could you provide a bit more diversity or inclusion? How could you make sure that you're changing the way people think, like throwing like a girl or throwing like a boy or any of those types of things? That how can you, you know, begin to have an assessment, a fair assessment, and asking the right questions? Number four is to prototype. I like to have the conversation of prototyping trumps discussion. I'm sure you've heard me say it here on the podcast before, and it's applicable here as well, that when it comes to charity, when it comes to philanthropy, when it comes to giving your time, you only get one life. You only get one day. It's time to start talking about what we're going to do about it as opposed to commiserating about the problem. If I have to listen to one more bitch session at different organizations that I work with, then it's more about taking what comes out of the bitch session and how we can work it to create a prototype for a solution. And I love Danny's energy in talking to us about the fact to break things and break them faster and break better, right? And go after it. And if you make it a mistake, then learn from it and recognize, well, we're going to pull that one back, or we're going to try it again in the future. Maybe the timing's not right, et cetera, and have a much more energized or positive outlook on it. And number five is to practice inclusion. I think that if you are a volunteer organization or people want to be involved in your efforts, let them. Let them get involved. I mean, there's nothing like volunteer internship. There's nothing like free help, right? And if you can't help them, maybe somebody else can, or you can't, you know, get the, or have the, need the help, then I know a lot of other organizations can. And so how can we support and spread the word of other people? That's your top five kick-ass. you again to Danny for being here and part of our show today. It's fun to dive into different topics like philanthropy and leadership and looking at them from a different perspective. So on the show here on the podcast, Strategic Hot Box, we've had conversations about fundraising and how now we're having conversations about philanthropy when it comes to giving and donating. So there's leadership is so dynamic and we are able to dig in. And that's one of the things I absolutely love about the Strategic Hot Box is the ability to dig into topics. But that's where you come in. How can you, as a listener, a viewer, a friend, a homie, how can my homies out there that are watching send us topics that you want us to tackle? Come on the show. Let's chat about some of the things that you're facing from day to day and how we can provide some reflection on that. I've made lots of mistakes in my path and I've shared lots of those with you, lots of those stories. And I love when I hear eye roll when I hear stories of when people that things just drop in their lap, these beautiful like opportunities drop in their lap. And I've just never had that. I've had to work hard for everything and continue to have to work hard for everything. And I know many of you out there feel the exact same way. So let us know. Hit us up on the strategichotbox.com or email us podcast@strategichotbox.com and let us know what things that you want us to tackle here on the Hot Box. And as you may know, out at the website, we have created a few kind of leadership development tracks. So based on, we all started with the podcast, but then based on that, we took some of these topics and said, how can we create all these tools and put them together in a way that you can have this at your fingertips? So there's worksheets out there. There's free downloads. There's links to all sorts of things. Every guest we've ever had, it's out there for you. Links to contact them directly. Links to their website and the things that they're working on. It's become like a resource hub, an educational hub for you. So if you haven't been out to check out the website, I urge you to do that. Really just to get out and check out the stuff that how you can create connections with the people that have been on the show. I know that everybody here, Danny included, would be happy to hear from any of our viewers, listeners, followers, and saying, "What this is a challenge that I'm having. I would love to hear from you." So let us know. Hit us up out there on strategichotbox.com. And then, of course, on social media, you can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, @BrandyLove, or on Instagram @StrategicHotBox or @BrandyLove. And so until I see you again, get out there, learn, love, and kick some ass.